Part 1, 1890 to 1944, Building a Dynasty. A farewell in Boston, Rose Kennedy dies at 104. Fight the good fight. It had been Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy's motto, and on this day, 104 years after her birth, it was fair to say she had lived up to it. In spite of the tragedies, she had kept the faith. Rose had weathered many storms in her lifetime, but even she could not overcome old age. Finally, the innocent deception the Kennedys had maintained for Rose over the past 7 years was over. Nature had taken its course. For while the family had dutifully tried to keep things as normal as possible for Rose by dressing her, having her hair done once a week, and providing round-the-clock nursing care, in truth, Rose had become a skeleton of her formidable former self, unable to walk or to speak coherently, seeing out of only one eye. Rose's world had dwindled to a single room within the Kennedy compound at Hyannisport, Massachusetts. Home for Rose had become her ocean-facing rose-colored bedroom, where she rested on a hospital bed equipped with rubber-clad safety bars. There she would pass the hours, interrupted occasionally by visits from family members. At times, she'd venture downstairs in her wheelchair to sit in the sunroom, or, when the weather permitted, on the porch. Aside from photographs of her beloved children and grandchildren, there was little to remind a visitor of the contribution this astonishing woman had made to 20th century America. Even her most basic requirements for living were greatly diminished. Sadly, Rose had been unable to eat solid food since the end of the 1980s. Instead, the matriarch who had once dined with the King and Queen of England and entertained at the White House was forced to spend the last 6 years of her life being fed via a tube to her stomach. Her son Teddy, his wife Vicky, and Rose's daughters, Eunice, Jean, and Pat, wept around her hospital bed, knowing what their mother's life had been reduced to in the end. They would console one another with the knowledge that they had all been dutiful children. Now Rose was moving on to a more peaceful place, where she would once again see her beloved husband Joseph and her three sons, Joe Jr., Jack, and Bobby, whom she had raised and watched as they were taken from her one by one. In heaven, too, would be her daughter Kathleen and her grandson David. Rose was unaware of the family's most recent loss, Jackie. The news of Jackie's death, which transfixed the country in May 1994, never made it to the famous compound in Hyannisport, Mass. Rose herself was ill as Jackie lay dying in New York. Although Rose recovered, she remained fragile. The family, fearing it might upset her, never told her Jackie had passed away. It was a wise decision. There seemed little sense in adding unnecessary grief to Rose's final days. Rose died only months after Jackie, but there was less pain for Rose and much more time to prepare. The family wanted to make Rose as comfortable as possible, and during this period she spent her few waking hours watching carefully edited videotapes about her family. The triumphs and victories were all there, but none of the tragedy. There were no assassinations, no grandchildren dying from drugs or on trial for rape, no hint of Chappaquiddick and the other scandals that have plagued her last remaining son. Relinquishing the painful memories, she could truly rest in peace. It was 7 p.m. on January 22, 1995, when Senator Edward Kennedy shared the news of his mother's death with the world. The announcement was brief, but spoke volumes about the death of his family's love for Rose Fitzgerald Kennedy. Quote, "Mother passed away peacefully today. She had a long and extraordinary life, and we loved her deeply. To all of us in the Kennedy and Fitzgerald families, she was the most beautiful rose of all." End quote.